right. G'day everyone, welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarky. We are here to preview everything round 12 NRL. We'll be here for all games. Before we start, of course, it is Indigenous round. So on behalf of the Tripod community, we'd like to give our thank you and pay our respects to all Indigenous people who have contributed to the greatest game of all, that being rugby league. With that being said, as usual, let me welcome in my co-host, Winnie. How are you going?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. We went 2-1 on our best bets in round 11, left a couple winners on the table. Nevertheless, we're 19-14 for the year. We lost the mixed matchup, another narrow one and another narrow loss in the same game. We didn't have a take on Toppy. I don't think we've got one tonight either, but I think you might have something extra special in store for followers this week anyway. But we can talk about that towards the end. But I've got four best bets to share for round 12. Looking forward to it. It's a crucial time of year because, of course, Origin teams will get selected at the end of this round as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that being said, I think that's a good way to go into the best bets. I'm not going to leave everyone staring at me for 30 seconds like I have in the past. This is the final week that the Tripod merch is available, guys. So if you want to get your hands on it, the link for all of that is in the description of this show right now. Of course, it is limited edition, guys. We don't know when we'll run this again, so it could be your last chance for a very long time. So yeah, links are in the show description. With that being said, Winnie, let's roll back the curtains. What have you got for us in the way of best bets for round 12?
I'll be honest, not that many people have ordered the merch either. So I'm still glad if a few people wanted it, they're going to get what they wanted. But it probably showed me why we don't run merch all that often. But it does make it all that more special for those who buy it. And as we said last week, you'll be the ones that get the inside running on future Tripod events and stuff if you get your hands on some. So just grab it if you want it. Have a look at the link in the show description for the catalog and the prices. And hopefully we can help you out with some of these best bets. I think we've won 7 of the last 8, 8 of the last 9, something like that. And I'm going to kick it off with Parramatta +4.5 in the first half against Souths because I respect what Parramatta's about. I think at this time of year, they've really got to play with urgency. I know they'll miss Lane, but they've still got a team that can compete with Souths, at least for the first 40. I'm kind of wary that Parramatta haven't had their bye and may not have a lot of fuel left in the tank. And I know you don't want to play against South Sydney, but Souths just keep covering lines. The lines keep getting bigger. It's a decent number of points with Mitch Moses returning. Then I'm going West Tigers +4.5, $1.81 on Sportsbet. And I could barely split these teams. This game's at Leichhardt. I can make a case for either to win. They play the Cowboys. Maybe I lean the Cowboys win in a tight one, but 4.5, that key number, I will take West. I think that they've got a bit of confidence. I didn't take much away from them losing to Souths last week, as everyone's lost to Souths in the last couple of months. On Sunday, sorry, Clarky, but I'm going the Bulldogs. Same bet as last week. I'm going to take the Bulldogs, who I think will beat your Titans, and I was surprised they're a slight underdog. And I think my best way to execute that best bet is to play the first half line +0.5 at $1.88 on Ladbrokes, just because that decent chance of it being level scores. You don't even have to go on and win. I think it's worth it. I think Burton's boot can be the difference. I know I kind of said that against New Zealand was proven wrong because Sean Johnson had the better game, but I think arguably Dogs have got the better coach, the longer backup. They are at home, just enough to put me onto Canterbury in that one. I can't wait to hear your kind of your view on that game though, because it's probably the hardest to split of the round. And finally, not so hard to split for me was Canberra over Manly, in my opinion, laying under a converted try. So -4.5 at $1.95 on Pop Sport. Best way to play that. Going for 6 wins in a row, unless we get some crazy turbo resurgence, I think the Raiders get that. I don't see any weaknesses in their side. And at home, this line is almost borderline disrespectful for me. So I'm pretty confident in Canberra. In that one, I've got a mixed matchup to share later in the show too.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that Raiders one. I mean, we'll get to that game in more depth, but just straight off the bat, unless I'm missing something, that line just doesn't seem quite right to me with how Manly have been traveling in recent weeks. I've got a great stat to back up that Doggies bet, unfortunately. And the other two games, I agree that they could go either way. It's a tough round to pick, I think, at this stage. But let's jump into it. Thursday night, it opens with the Broncos taking on the Penrith Panthers. This one's at Suncorp Stadium. For the Broncos, Adam Reynolds remains unavailable, so that means Jock Madden comes into the lineup. For the Panthers, they've got no changes to their 17. The line is set at -7.5 in the Panthers' favour. Now, the Broncos got the win in round one in this one, Winnie. Are you going to go that way, or are you going to take the Panthers to make it 1-1 this year?
Well, you will recall we did take Brisbane in round one with the start, which at that time of the year was, I think, 12 and a half. People didn't really know what Brisbane had to offer. It's a bit different now. And in fact, the line is very different from what it was 7 days ago. You could have got -1.5 about the Panthers last week. So what's happened? The biggest adjustment being the loss of Brisbane's captain, of course. I don't particularly downgrade Brisbane for the result against Storm, but I do upgrade Penrith for demolishing the Roosters and getting back Liam Martin into the side. I know people drew a few trend lines that Penrith seems to have struggled a bit in wet conditions, and they pointed to the World Club Challenge round one against Brisbane. They lost those games, it was pouring rain. But I think looking back at it, it was never really the weather that was hurting Penrith. They were just underdone in their preparation, totally understandably, and as we explained early in this year, could be the case. But now Penrith have clearly gone through their gears, look a lot more like the team that has downright dominated this competition for three straight years. And then you couple that with the revenge factor that Brisbane defeated Penrith on their home turf. They'll get the chance to return the favour. I expect they will. It's just that would I lay -7.5 when, you know, you could have got under that, you know, even once Reynolds was ruled out, you still could have laid 3.5 or 4.5. And now it's just gone a bit too far for me to feel confident to tip that out. But I just think you look at this Brisbane spine and it's, you know, Walters, Cogger, Mam, Walsh, not much experience, not a lot of games there. How are they going to pull the upset against Penrith? I feel like the forward pack would have to play unbelievable, which they can, but they'd have to play just mistake-free and absolutely limit the Penrith opportunities if there are any chance, and that's a tall order.
Yeah, I think in some ways you can kind of draw the correlation that Brisbane are starting to show some cracks in their armour. But I also agree with you. I don't look into their loss to the Storm last round and think, oh, it's horrible, the wheels have fallen off, because they had 3 sin bins. That's literally almost half a game with one man down. I think it would be tough even for, I mean, let's say the Rabbitohs to win that game. They seem to be the favourite at the moment, certainly. I am going to go Panthers here, but I could also see a world where I'd be interested in that +7.5 line for Brisbane as well. I think for all of their losses this year, there are some genuine excuses. You never want to make excuses in footy. Maybe not excuses, but some unlucky moments that if maybe something else goes their way, even that Carrigan sin bin, for example, maybe him being there for an extra 10 minutes gets them those extra few points against the Storm. Adam Reynolds is a huge loss, but the stats do say they are 3-4 when starting without him, a 75% win rate. So that is pretty in their favour, you would say. The other factor, though, as to why I am going to lead to my tip with Penrith in this one is they did beat them in round one at Panthers' home ground. So I certainly think the back-to-back reigning premiers wanting revenge, that has to say for something. Panthers have won 4 of their last 5 against the Broncos, only loss being that game we referenced. They've also won their past 7 straight in a row at Suncorp. Couldn't find too much in the way of try scorers winning. I feel like I'm a broken record with this one. Every time the Broncos play at Suncorp, it's Cobbo. He's 17 from 17. And in the last 6 games between these two sides, the loser has scored at least 12. So, you know, there's sort of data to indicate there that even if Broncos lose, they will at least score 2 if we're going off history. Origin around the corner, that does lead to Cobbo. But I don't think the value's there for me to be too interested in a play. If I was going to look at this one from a multi perspective, maybe you could give Broncos the head start. Consider that Cobbo anytime try scorer. Both sides to hit 10, and I think it should be a low scoring one. So maybe you could take the unders. Certainly a lot of legs you consider in this one. It's going to be a close game, that's for sure. Then we move to the Dragons versus Roosters. This one's at Nostrada Jubilee Stadium. The line is set at -6.5 in the Sydney Roosters' favour. For the Dragons, Zach Lomax is back, and that means Max Fierguy drops out. For the Roosters, Joey Manu out, Sam Walker not available with an ACL partial tear. That means Luke Keary goes to 5'8", Drew Hutchinson goes to halfback, and Jared Waria-Hargreaves has been named Winnie, but that pec injury, I'm going to say he's going to be ruled out late. That's my gut feeling in this one. Can the Roosters bounce back, or are the Dragons too dangerous in the same week, their coach has been sacked?
Well, that's the question everyone's going to ask, is about the new coach bump. I'll pull you up on something you said last game. This might just be a turn of phrase, but when you said it's going to be a close game, that's for sure, Brisbane-Penrith, mean, the line 6.5, a close game isn't for sure in that one. Okay. I think that as the comments coming through there, Colt says he's tipping Penrith 13+. I do think Brisbane will have to be on their game to make that one a close game. So if you were so sure it'd be a close game, you know, you could easily bet either 1-10 or 1-12. And that's the way I would play it if you think Brisbane competes. Yeah, that way you're actually getting kind of a plus 10, plus 12 effectively. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not saying I'm certain because of the deficiencies at spine there. But that's why we're a punting show. You know, if we disagree, then we can always find a way to bet our strong opinion. Into this one, I've got a lot to say as well, because I find this Roosters-Dragons game to be fascinating. As an outsider, when I see a game that I know both sides are going to be desperate, that just makes an exciting match, and I love it. And it was exciting on Anzac Day, 27-26 to the Roosters. And as I said in the recap, the ball bounces differently, or Sloan's a step quicker. He probably scores the winning try in that. And it's so funny, the kind of butterfly effect. If the Dragons had been able to win that game, you know, does it change the way they play? We have a different edge about them when they had a lead in the second half down in Canberra. They had a lead in the second half against West. We'll never know. But what we do know is that the Dragons have lost 6 in a row. The coach is out, which shocks nobody. And more often than not, you get this spike in performance. And there's 3 reasons for me why I think that will occur on Friday. So one is the general scuttlebutt that was going around. There were several strained relationships between the coach and players. I do wonder if there's a bit of a relief there. And dare I say it, some players may even have held some resentment or play with a bit of spite and a bit of a point to prove. And they almost might want to stick it to Hook by playing their best footy. I think number 2 is whenever you're a new coach, this is always the case, new preferences with selections, everyone's on notice. In this case, Lomax is back, Mbai's dropped, Sullivan on the bench, Fiungai's dropped. Everyone wants to put their best foot forward, not just in the game, but training, their whole preparation, to make sure they're going to hold their spot for the season. And the 3rd reason why I think the Dragons will noticeably improve this week, it's not hard after how bad they were in Townsville. And I said enough to be said about that. And in our recap show, the line 6.5, I know that'll be tempting to people out there. And given that the Dragons have covered that line 6 of the last 7, not covered the line, but been within 6 if, or else won 7 games ago in all but 1 match, which was last week. But here's the big but. The opponent, the Roosters, are just as desperate. They're coming back off the back of these terrible results. As I said on Sunday, a good team bounces back from a bad game. So fool me once with 1 bounce back. Okay, last week they should have bounced back and been better. They didn't. Fool me twice, something would be fundamentally wrong. So is there something fundamentally wrong with the Roosters? I can see your comments flying through. I want to put some of those up on the screen in a second, guys. But I want to hear from our followers. What are you seeing about the Roosters? Like, what's wrong with them this year? Because we've said, well, I've said, yeah, they've lost a 50-50 here or there. They weren't that bad. They've switched off for a few minutes. Certainly some star players are playing beneath their best. They can get better. They've played in their fair share of games with tough weather conditions, and maybe they're not suited to that necessarily for their attack. Last week they met a red-hot Penrith. But at what point am I just making excuses, or are we making excuses for a team that just might not be what we all thought they were at the start of this year? So for me, how I feel about the Roosters right now, I would not write them off from winning the comp. Right now, $10 to win the comp. I'm not telling you I'm rushing to the window, I'm backing them. But if you gave me, you know, 13, 14, 15 to 1, I'd back it right now, Roosters win the comp. Other people might have already thrown them in the bin and might disagree with what I said there and wouldn't touch them. If the Roosters lose this one, I will most likely significantly downgrade them and might feel quite differently in a week. And that's how pivotal I think this match is. And they got it without Joey Manu, without Rio Hargraves is questionable, as you said. But what do I expect, to put a bow on my handicap at this one? I think the big players will be the difference. They will step up. So the likes of Teddy Swalii, I throw in there, and he's still not out of origin contention. Keary, Brandon Smith, he's recruited on big money, needs to come in, win them games. And Radley, you know, is a star that I feel hasn't played his best footy. I think those players should be the difference. It's a short week for Ryan Carr to make big improvements to the Dragons in terms of game planning, even if the effort and focus is there. And game plan execution has been a big weakness for the Dragons. So when I've got forces in each direction, I don't have a best bet, but I can't wait to see how it unfolds on Friday.
Yeah, I was curious for this one to see if you were going to go Roosters for a best bet. I'm wondering if that line was something like minus 5.5, would you be tempted under your rule that if a team plays poor, take them to bounce back, or?
Yeah, I would have given it an even stronger look at under a converted try for sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's just over, which makes it a bit of an awkward one. I would love to see some data, if anyone has it, around the win percentage of teams the same or the week after their coach gets sacked. If anyone knows that win percentage, I'd love to see that. Roosters winning the comp. I mean, they did start the competition really slow in 2018, but I think only like two teams in history have won the competition from outside the top four. Not 100% sure on that set, but it's a very low percentage of teams that do it. And that top four is going to be really hard to make this year, it seems. I love the call of Teddy and Sualee because they haven't quite got quality ball this year. And I do think that'll be a key focus for the Roosters this week at training. How do we get our key players quality ball? So I was very close to tipping the Dragons here, aware of the coach sacked sort of rule there. But the reason I didn't is because Ben Hunt's their best player, in my opinion. He was super close to Anthony Griffin. So I can sort of see him being a little bit down in the dumps. Maybe not because Origin's close and he wants to get selected. But my opinion is, I think he might be a little bit down in the dumps. And if he was to come out and play his best game the day after one of his close friends and mentors and Anthony Griffin gets sacked, it's probably not the best looking. So I'm going to go with your rule that if a team's coming off their worst performance, in this instance, Roos's two worst performances in a row, you've got to tip them. Going to give them another chance. If Jared Warrior-Hargraves is ruled out, I'm starting to get nervous, though. He's really important. That being said, Nathan Brown has been awesome in New South Wales Cup for them. Six tackle breaks, 185 metres, and I think 20-plus tackles for zero misses a round or two ago. Awesome numbers. I'd bring him in for JWH. I think he'd rip in for his club debut. He's an aggressive player. It's a good way to replace, well, the best possible way they could replace someone like JWH. The big reason, though, Winnie, why straight off the Dragons, they have not beaten the Roosters outside of Anzac Day games since the 2010 Grand Final. So for 13 years, unless it's Anzac Day, Dragons can't beat the Roosters. That's a big window of failures there, if I'm absolutely honest. Recently, including Anzac Day games, they're 1-9. So their recent record doesn't get any better. I like Teddy for a try here. I said I think that they'll be getting some quality ball to him. He's got three tries in his last two against the Dragons. I think with the new halves pairing of Kieran Hutchinson, him being captain and him wanting to press forward for that Blues jersey, or even just, you know, answer back to critics that say he's out of form, I like Teddy for an anytime try scorer. So if I had to bet this one, I would take Roosters at that line. I wish it was 5.5, but I'll risk it, and I'd throw Teddy in for an anytime try scorer. And don't forget for that game as well, guys, this will be our Better Same Game Multi. We've had some great results on the Better Same Game Multi this year. The sign-up link is in our description if you want to go ahead and prepare now while we're live. If you want to check out more of Better's content, check out their work with the Fox League Lab on their YouTube channel. But just remember to keep it real and ask yourself, what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential advice, call the number or visit the website, which will be on the screen in a moment. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, it'll be in the description of that also.
But you may have jumped the gun there, because isn't the next game we're about to discuss the primetime Friday night that probably be the one I cook our multi for?
You will have to forgive me, guys.
Nevertheless, it transitions perfectly into that one.
Yes, let's transition into that game now. So my apologies. So the Rabbitohs and Eels game will be our Better Same Game Multi, not the previous. We'll have that post up on all of our socials afterwards. So it's the Rabbitohs v. the Eels. It's at Allianz Stadium. The line is set at -8.5 in the Bunnies' favour. For South, Burgess withdrew in the warm-up last game. He is listed to come back. For Eels, massive inclusion. Mitchell Moser returns. That means Jake Arthur drops out, but a big, big loss. Sean Lane is out again with that hamstring injury. Bryce Cartwright starts. Offahigi Ogden joins the bench. Now, you've got Eels here for a best bet, so maybe a chance to talk a little more on that one.
So another good Friday night game in my eyes. Mind you, I said this a week ago about Roosters-Panthers. It looked a good one on paper. We got the last two grand final runners up. I would go as far to say, in fact, the Rabbitohs were a better team than Parramatta last year as well. It's just they end up on the same side of the draw in the prelim against Penrith. And, you know, South's pushed Penrith a lot further than Parramatta did, that's for sure. This line is pretty solid. Now, my first instinct was what I said a week ago. I don't want to get out in front of this South Sydney buzzsaw. And South Sydney did ultimately cover last week. Despite only scoring one try in the first 70 minutes, they still covered a 15.5-point line. Another way of saying they didn't have to exert a lot to cover that line or to win that game. While Parramatta worked very hard down in Canberra, it was a high-intensity match. And I give credit to Parramatta for hanging in there and being in it to win it late when the Raiders were very tough to beat, played a really strong 80 minutes. And as you said, no Mitch Moses, although he does return, but now you've got to deal with the loss of Sean Lane. But I look at it like, no, there's no way I'd lay the 8.5. I respect the Parramatta's ability. And as I said at the top, the urgency in the Eels, they've got to find a win or two that may not be so expected and then string those along with some expected wins to make a run up the ladder soon, or it will be too late. And I will go the first half with Parramatta because I am wary of them. You know, could they run out of energy late, or could Souths kind of do what they did to West last week, which is just stay in the contest with you but know that they can always go up a gear late if they need to. So you may, if you disagree with me, my best bet, which is +4.5, first half, and you actually like Souths, you may even consider just laying the second half line too, because I think for Parramatta to be in this game, it's going to have to be on the back of a strong first 40. I can't see necessarily Parramatta being able to chase the game because that's just dangerous once if your middle's getting rolled by Souths, it could be all over.
Yeah, I agree. And we saw from Bunnies last round, they are a side that plays out the full 80 minutes. I'm just going through their recent results and I'm trying to think when was the last time they would not have covered the line. I think I'm getting back to round 5 against the Melbourne Storm when they lost 10-18 because they smashed the Dolphins and the Bulldogs. They were then underdogs against Penrith, won 2 points. So that would have been, they would have covered it there with a plus. Then they smashed the Broncos, smashed the Storm, covered it against the Tigers just. So we're probably going back 6 weeks the last time they didn't cover a line. So for that reason, I'm going to go against you here. I am going to say they cover that line, actually. I feel bad for Eels fans here because I do respect them as a quality side, but really, there's not a side I wouldn't tip the Bunnies over right now. Even if they versus Penrith this week, I'd still tip the Bunnies with how they're playing. And I'm really excited for this game, and I really hope that even if they don't cover the line, I just want them to win, extend that win streak to 7, and then that sets up a massive contest with the Raiders next week, but don't want to get too far ahead of myself. This Eels side, they're not playing bad at the moment, but they are falling short in a lot of games. And I just think that if you're looking to bounce back, the Bunnies aren't the side to do it at the moment with how they're playing because they play the full 80 minutes. They're not going to give you little lulls in periods. They're not going to put the cue in the rack at the 60th minute mark and stop playing. As we saw against the Tigers, it was the opposite. They scored most of their points in the final 10 minutes. For the Eels, I think in the last two games, the loss of Regan Campbell-Gillard has really shown. Not so much in the Knights game because they just blew them off the park and that was a really strange showing by the Knights. But I do think this is will be the game where Eels fans start to fully appreciate how awesome Regan Campbell-Gillard is, because I know that Bunnies forward pack is so powerful and I think they will get on top. And you guys know what I think when the Bunnies forward pack gets on top. Mitch Moses is a big inclusion, but the Bunnies have won 8 of their last 9 against the Eels and that includes the last 6 straight. Now, Alex Johnston did not score in the last round, but against the Eels, he has 15 tries in his last 12 games and 5 out of 7 of those games when he included double. So this is probably the best try scoring form he has against any team. So yeah, if I had to take this one, I'd bet Bunnies at the line. I wish it was a little bit short, maybe even 7.5. So it's 8, but you know, because it's such an awkward number, 8.5, because you're more or less, it's essentially 2 tries. Whereas if it's 7.5, you can get a try and a penalty goal. But 8.5 saying you think they're going to win by 2 tries, which does make it risky. But if I had to play it, I'd take Bunnies at that line and Alex Johnson anytime try scorer, even though he didn't score last round. Then it's the Sharks and the Knights at Coffs International Stadium. The line is set at -8.5 in the Sharks' favour. For the Sharkies, only the one change. Cam McInnes broke his hand. I didn't even realize in the game. But Oregon Carfusi does return from his illness. No changes for the Knights side. I think this is going to be a high-scoring one. Are you seeing this one that way?
Well, you always respect the ability of the Sharks to score. I guess the Knights, they had 46, which was their most points in like a decade last week. Sorry to bring that game up again, mate. Although it was a good memory, good viewing for me because we did have a best bet there. And in fact, I was impressed by both these sides last week, even though Sharks didn't nearly win by the same magnitude. Looking at this game, you know, I think you just have to make Cronulla converted try favourites. I understand that. Their levels at that decent amount above the Knights. Although being a neutral venue, you know, I'll tell you right now, this is probably the closest game I went without a best bet on, but I had a strong lean to Newcastle. Now, have I got this little bit of Knights bias? Because I've really been on the Knights train since the start of the year, and I don't think I've faded Newcastle once. And in 10 matches, to be fair, I believe they're 8-2 against the spread and just about the most profitable side in the comp if you just played them with the line. So that shows that they probably have been underrated by the market. But again, the marketplace catches up and you win by, 26? Or no, you win by 20 points last week. So more and more people are going to start to respect the Knights, and then those lines are going to come in a little bit. Because I said it 7 days ago, I was really surprised Newcastle were not favourites against the Gold Coast. Sure enough, within a few hours of our preview pod, they were, in fact, favourites. So I look at this one and I feel quite similar about Newcastle in this game as I did in round 9 when they played Parramatta, where I just don't think on paper Newcastle's that inferior to these teams. And I know the Sharks are a bit better than Parra, but kind of teams that are in the 4th to 8th region of the ladder. Yet we know how that game turned out. I got that one badly wrong, that Knights-Eels game. Of course, that was before the bye. This one's after the bye. It does seem to have made a world of difference. And now Ponga is really looking at his best and looking himself. While the Sharkies, they've got great depth, but still no Rudolph. McInnes out. Hamlin Wele is in the reserves, may or may not play. That's why I could only play the Knights in this one. But I guess you got to be brave. If you take a start against the Sharks, I know they've given a couple of leads away this year, but they're also a team that can really turn it on when they get on top.
Yeah, I like Sharkies in this one. I have to take them, but I do think that line should be closer. I think if I was setting that line from what I think it should be, maybe like 4.5. Maybe I'm being too biased. Maybe I'm, counting the Knights a bit too high there. But yeah, I think 8.5 is a bit too... I don't think that's right there. I think the Knights, look, if you dismiss that Eels game, they can be proud of 4 of their last 5 games. And they were awesome games where they either drew, won, or just lost in tight ones to the back-to-back reigning premiers, Panthers, and one.
Mate, I'll go one further. They can be proud of 9 of their last 10. You really look at, tell me the game where they were really bad. You know, there's only one. It's only the Parra game, honestly.
Yeah. No, I like that. And I do think the Knights, I'm starting to really buy into what you said in the preseason show that they are kind of like the dark horse slash smoky of this competition there. Both these sides have really powerful back threes and they're so evenly matched that if you combine the back threes, both sides, wingers and fullback from last week, there was 1 meter difference between them both. And they were both up near like 500 meters just between 3 players. So I think that the back threes in this one are really going to start the set strong. And if there's fast starts to sets and it's not raining at Coffs Harbour and it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon, then you can expect X-Factor players, I think, like KP, Hines, Miller, Kennedy, to have these big moments in the game. And I think especially the first two that I mentioned, Hines and KP, both men playing respectively for Origin jerseys. There's not too much here to play in terms of stats that I factor into the bets here. Really only some strange ones like Blake Brayley is the only Sharks player to score in both games the Sharks have had at Coffs Harbour. So if you buy into that, that'd be at big odds. The Sharks have won 2 from 2 that they've played at Coffs. Dom Young has 9 in his last 6. Maybe Jesse Ramian, he has 6 tries in his last 7 with the Knights being his former club. But I also think you could play the Knights at the head start there, plus 8.5, and then just pick whichever try scorers you like, really, from either side. And I think that wouldn't be a bad multi for this one either.
To respond to Ryan's question, he asked, would you play 8.5 first, 8.5 for the full game or 4.5 halftime? I don't have a strong lean either way, so I would just take whichever you can get at higher odds. I think that they are very equivalent. I know sometimes I have a tendency to take the underdog in the first half, but essentially you get the same number of key numbers for that amount of minutes that I would expect. And I think a decent case being made for the Knights by a few people in the comments, including Luke, who's echoing what I said about the fact that the Sharks just quietly are not at full strength, whereas the Knights, who've had a lot of outs throughout the year, are getting closer to their full complement of players available.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, even from just like an outright value perspective, if you believe in the Knights, I think they're up over $3. Sharks are as low as $1.30. Even though I'm tipping Sharks, I would not touch $1.30. There is no value in that at all, in my opinion. Then it's the Tigers and Cowboys at Leichhardt Oval. The line for this one is set at -3.5 in the Cowboys' favour. No changes to the Tigers' side. One change for the Cowboys. Jermaine Tarnoa-Brown is out. So younger, impressive rookie Riley Price gets another chance. How are you leaning? Oh, you're going the Tigers for a best bet, I remember, in this one. So maybe a chance to elaborate a little bit further on that one.
That's right. In the Where's Your Queensland Spirit Now Cup, I am going with the Tigers. Getting +4.5 is my best bet on Sportsbet at $1.81. Look, one of these teams won by 20 points last week. The other lost by 20 last week. But as you heard on the recap, if you watch our recap show, it's arguable for me who was more, or shall we say less, impressive. Because Wes played the best team in the league and hung with them for 70 minutes. The Cowboys played, let's face it, the worst team currently in the league on their worst night and won by 20, right? But a team that was more in their game would have won by a lot more, although a win's a win. Not to take away from the Cowboys, there's nothing wrong with not playing that well, not working too hard, getting the 2 points and making it 2 on the trot. And so there is a case to be made for the Cowboys carrying momentum in, although I'm happy to see Flovey in the comments says the Tigers are the bet of the week. Look, it's a funny one. If you ask me who do I think's going to win, like maybe I say the Cowboys by the narrowest margin. I can understand why they are the favourite this one. But if I can get the +4.5, I will take the Tigers because I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think Leichhardt counts for something. Something else I said at the start of this year, it would take a while for the Sheens regime, you know, his system, to for the players to buy in and understand it and play the way that he and also, you know, his assistants want the team to play. The Tigers had a bit of turnover with roster, you know, some new key position players coming in. That was all going to take time. Now I feel like they've had that time. We're around 12. They've finally won a couple of games. They're not under that same immense pressure, where I felt like that was affecting the performances. The pressure of the criticism every week was weighing on them. At least they've eased that a little bit, pulling a couple of wins. So as I say, tight game. Who's going to win it? You know, for me, it's always the star players that break the games. But is that Dearden, Drinky, Val, Lukey, Ruben Cotter? Or is it Jareem Buller? Is it Coruscant? Is it Papali'i? Dare I say, is it Luke Brooks the difference? So Leichhardt under lights, I'm going to take the 4.5 in a game. I think it'll be scrappy and could go either way.
Well, it is Luke Brooks' 200th NRL game. I wonder with this one, forgive me, guys, while I go off in a bit of fantasy land here. Imagine if this was round 4. And so the Tigers' recent form would be a win over Penrith, a win over the Dragons, and a loss to the Bunnies. Would the line be minus in Tigers' favour? I think yes. I think people are still reading into the start of their season a lot, and that's why there could be some value around them in recent weeks. That being said, I am going to tip Cowboys here. I don't feel confident about it at all. I just think it's one of those games that it's so close that I'll just play it maybe safe and go the favourites. I am wary that the Tigers are at Leichhardt and it is Luke Brooks' 200th NRL game. You guys know I love betting whichever side the milestone is on. But forgive me if I'm wrong here, Winnie. When Tommy Radonjic has passed away and they had his memorial game last year, was that played at Leichhardt Oval or Campbelltown? I'm thinking it was Leichhardt.
Yeah, from memory. Yeah, right. I do remember. And everyone thought it'd be a big performance. Who were they? Oh, it was against the Cowboys, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And what was the halftime score? Like 24-6.
They got booed off the park. They got booed relentlessly off the park. And maybe, no, correction, rightfully so, because Tommy's an absolute legend and I thought they'd really show up for him in that game. That being said, at Leichhardt Oval, the Cowboys have only won there twice in their entire history. And one of those games was that Tommy Radonjic's memorial game. Recently, the Tigers are 2-9 at Leichhardt. So their record at their home ground isn't too flash hot either. Because both sides have poor records at the home ground, I'm not going to read into it too much, but I do think it'll be packed with hopeful Tigers fans who have seen their side improve in the last 3 weeks. I'm going to take Cowboys. I think they make it 3 in a row. I don't mind Kyle Felt for an anytime try scorer. He seems to be finding form recently, and he has 6 tries in his last 6. But yeah, I'm not even sure if the Cowboys cover that line. Let's go Cowboys by a field goal. So yeah, I'm not too sure about this one. I'm not confident at all.
You'll be perfectly happy with that. As the comments come in, the opinions are split as well. I've seen people who will be on the Cowboys with you and others who also like the Tigers. And Jeff asks, any players I think will go extra hard this week to get an origin spot. So the teams will get named Sunday night. In reality, most the two coaches, Billy and Freddie, probably just about know who they're going to pick. Look, if anything stands out, like I feel like it's kind of obvious, all the players that are in the mix for sure should want to go hard. And that's why I feel like you could say it every game and nearly every team has someone who's in the conversation. So it kind of cancels out. I don't think in my notes I specifically narrowed down any kind of one or two players. But if any come to mind, you know, we'll mention if we think that that could be the difference. I just feel like everyone's pretty acutely aware and everybody's trying hard this time of year.
Yeah. And I mean, you could go game to game and there's almost a player from every side that's close to locked in or not exactly quite locked in. Like Broncos, you could say Stags. Roosters game, you could say Teddy. Rabbitohs game.
Well, even like this game, you know, Cotter, he's probably almost there, but, you know, he could go big. Val's going to be there, right? But is Coruscant locked in? Yeah, Brooks. Is Coruscant locked in or does he want to grab that Blues jersey? Because some people don't know if the Blues are going to pick 2 hookers or 1 and who the one would be. So when it kind of goes in both directions, I don't always mention a factor if I don't think, you know, that ultimately gives you an edge in your betting.
Yeah, and all things serious for this game. I mean, I know Luke Brooks gets a lot of jokes about him. I just made one then. It is his 200th NRL game, which is a fantastic milestone. And although Tigers have not played finals in those 200 games with him, he's still very maligned. And probably, I remember he deleted his Instagram a few years ago because he copped it so bad. So yeah, I do feel for Luke sometimes, but congratulations to an awesome milestone. And fingers crossed the Tigers turn up for him. I think he deserves a big game from his teammates. This game is actually, I'm going to pencil it in this game of the round. I'm going to say it right now. Dolphins v. Storm, Bellamy v. Bennett again. We're at Suncorp Stadium. It is close to sold out already. The line is set in the Storm's favour, -6.5. For the Dolphins, Jesse Bromwich is in. Poasafaa Masili is out. Branko Lee is in. Cult hero Valens Tefade drops out, which sucks. Ray Stone's back on the bench. And Mark Nichols is the 18th man. And there is some mail that he's recovered from his broken thumb and he will come in late. And no changes to this Melbourne side as well. Now, the ultimate question, Winnie, are you going your boys? Because they are coming off the bye and we've got the data now that indicates that teams do play well off the bye.
And Ryan says, you can't go the Finns now. There's no chance because they've dropped Tefare. I'll get to my tip. Funnily enough, I've heard the Dolphins described as the Red Storm this year. And I'm not sure. Obviously, referring to some of the recruits, I'm not sure if it's a compliment or not to the new franchise because the way they've played, they've looked a bit like the Melbourne Storm. And in fact, these two sides come in, both 6 wins, 4 losses. And only 7 points of points differential apart, separating them on the ladder. And yet, the Storm are a 6.5-point favourite on the road, and the Dolphins are off the bye. So I'm not playing Melbourne. I think that line is probably too high. And that's despite the fact that I really liked Melbourne last week, and we played them for our best bet. We won. I felt like last week was a good spot to succeed at home. I guess in their favour is the longer turnaround because that was a Thursday night game. You know, you do get that long week to prep and recover for the following week, which somewhat mitigates the Dolphins' bye. And the other thing that I was thinking about in this game is who's more fired up? Is it the former Storm players, which includes the Finns captain, Jesse Bromwich, facing their old beloved club? Or in some ways, is it the Melbourne team that will get up for this because it's playing against all their old mates and they'll want to really give it to them? I wasn't really sure if there's an advantage to either side in that regard, and even the master apprentice thing that goes on between Bellamy and Bennett, of course. I do think the Storm want to make amends for such a poor showing last time they played at Suncorp, which was just a couple of weeks ago at Magic Round. I hate to say it, but I think Melbourne wins this game. And I'll sound like a broken record because I feel like you could nearly say this every week for Melbourne, but 6, 7, and 9, too much class. I think that's definitely apparent when you look at who plays in those positions for the Dolphins. It's not a current positions of strength. It's a big advantage. It is worth more than having a bye, and it's worth more than home field, in my opinion, and it's going to steer Melbourne to a win, I believe. But should the line be over a converted try, as I said before, that's where I'm not sure. I was close, again, to taking the underdog here, and I'd take that start. And by you calling it the game of the round, I mean, if you think a game's going to be a cracking game, you've got to bet the plus in that situation because you're expecting it to be tight. Now, this will sound a little bit counterintuitive, but the final hesitation I had was that the Dolphins arguably had their best game of the season last time we saw them, which was, you know, getting out to a 30-0 lead against Cronulla. I don't know if I want to be on them the very next time they play, you know what I mean? Because I think that's what a lot of others will see, remembering what they saw last. So ultimately, I left it alone. I cheer for my Finns, but they're rightfully the underdogs in this against the strong Storm side.
Yeah, no doubt. I can see why Storm are favourites here. Still outright, although their last game at Suncorp was poor, they've still got a great record here overall. There was a stat there a few years ago where, like, Jesse Bromwich had never lost there since like 2010 because the Storm just always seemed to win at Suncorp. I'm really interested because this is like a new chapter for the Storm at Suncorp. Usually it's always been against the Broncos. This time it's against the Dolphins, who I am going to go for the upset win here. Every week I try to pick out that one game that just doesn't, where there could be an upset, just to sort of separate the tips from, you know, all favorites. And almost every single round this year, there has been one upset that none of us really saw coming, really, apart from last round. I think last round was the one where it kind of all just went to script with the favorites winning in that one. But I do think with the Dolphins, their main players are playing against their former coach and their former team. I do give that mental edge to the Dolphins a little bit more, just because the Bromwich boys, Felice Carfusi in particular, seem a little bit more refreshed. They're building something new, and I think that will heighten their focus for this one. So I'll go on for the upset. Great history between these two coaches. The stats here, and this one's almost unbelievable. Wayne Bennett has only won 10 of the 39 games he's coached against Craig Bellamy, and he hasn't defeated Craig Bellamy at Suncorp Stadium since 2005, which is like, wow. You're telling me the great Wayne Bennett has not beaten Bellamy at Suncorp since 2005 with some of the great Broncos teams he's had. That's just wild. So Storm have a great record there. I get why they're favourites. I'm just trying to pick out an upset here. Dolphins do have the least amount of errors of any team in the competition this year. And I was hoping you wouldn't get me with this stat because your stats were awesome. But this one as well, they both complete at the exact same amount this year, 81%. In multiple ways, these sides, as you said, they are so similar in the way they play. They both stay in the grind. And it's a milestone game for Jared Wallace, the cherry on top, his 200th NRL game. We've seen this Dolphin side really show up for milestone games so far this year. So I'm going to take them here. I'm going to go the upset.
And the comments are split, but I love that you're on the underdog here. Mm. James says, so hard to tip. We've got another James. Dolphins fresh off a bye. Twist of fate is on Dolphins. Liam was actually leaning Storm -6. And Nelson, who's in some doubt, he's hearing is good to go. Lee, Bellamy's boys get this one in a rip snorter. James likes the crowd factor. Luke nearly took the Finns line. Colt, Storm 13+. Ben likes the Dolphins too. So, and then Cootie, Bellamy is a master. So we got, opinions very much split on this game, but it is another beauty for a Saturday night.
My final takeaway from this one, how many more quote-unquote upsets the Dolphins need before we stop calling them that? Because they are finding ways to win a lot of great games. We've got two games to go in our preview, guys. Before we get to those, let's pause and take a moment to hear from Tristan Merlihan, who is the CEO of TopSport, with some exclusive market insight.
And I had to track Tristan down at the homeless shelter this week after all favourites won last week and all favourites covered the line as well, which hadn't happened for 5 years, apparently.
Wow.
And asked Tristan if he was going all right, and he said, yeah, he's glad the Dolphins are playing again because they've been a friend of the bookie, and the Dolphins being off to bye was not a good sign for them in round 11. But let's hear how he sounds and what he's looking at in round 12.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we got some fascinating games coming up this weekend where the two high-flying teams of the competition, Brisbane, take on Penrith in the opening game, where Brisbane, despite putting a pretty good effort under the circumstances, are big underdogs at home. Obviously no Adam Reynolds, which is impactful there. One of the big moves, like what always happens when a coach is sacked, has been for the Dragons. They've been 7.5 into 6.5. The other game where we have seen a little bit of action has been for the Tigers against the Cowboys, where that line has moved over the key number of 4. It went 4.5 into 3.5 the Tigers' way. Really looking forward to the Dolphins-Storm game, where there's going to be a bit of a rivalry, I'd suggest, with obviously the Bromwich boys taking on the Storm for the first time. It's not coincidental that it was our worst round of the NRL all season when all 8 favourites won. But most importantly from our end, my second favourite team, the Dolphins, had the week off. So they've been unbelievable in causing an upset. I'm certain there's going to be a lot of multis rolling through the Storm again this weekend. So we'll be cheering them on as usual. But pretty exciting week of football. Again, there's a lot of even games. There's not one match where the line is over 10. So that's great for quality, close football. Looking forward to it. Hopefully back a winner over the weekend. And of course, gamble responsibly.
Looks like Tristan loves that game as well. So yeah, thanks to Top Sport for their ongoing support to our show. The sign-up code is TPLIVE if you are interested in joining up. But please make sure you message the Tripod page or Jacob Wynn on Facebook if you do sign up and let us know. But of course, always gamble responsibly. We move to the Bulldogs v Titans game. This one's at a core stadium and the line is set at -1.5 in the Titans' favour. Favourites again, when I got to be honest, I don't think we should be favourites in this one. For the Bulldogs, Josh Adokar is in. So impressive debutant Blake Wilson drops out and Carl Olapau starts his first game, which means Josh Reynolds drops to the bench. For the Titans, Aaron Clark withdrew late. He is back in and Isaac Fa'asuamala'awi drops out. You're on the Doggies in this one. So maybe a chance to tell us a little bit why.
Yeah, so it's the shortest line of the round and my first instinct was, yeah, it is tough to split. And both these sides are coming off round 11 losses that they'll try and bounce back from. I picked the Titans' loss. That was a best bet against them. I did not pick the Dogs' loss. Both games on paper were kind of 50-50. And in fact, the Dogs were handily beaten by New Zealand. I like the move of Olapau. Just let him run free in the halves now. He's been blooded, so let him do his thing from the start. And I'm looking forward to that combination with Burton. And then Adokar, you know, that his injection back, not only do I really believe that will boost the energy of the Dogs, but I think it will add attacking strike that was clearly lacking against New Zealand, which we didn't know would be the case that he wouldn't be there a week ago when I did tip the Bulldogs. So I'm going to go on again here, Canterbury. I think I said at the top, the longer turnaround, the no travel while the Titans have been on the road for a couple of weeks. You said it then, you're not sure you should be favourite. So I was really curious to hear your confidence level because loyalty aside, I feel like you've had a good gauge on your team this year. I can see, you know, Jeff asked a question about origin performances. I can see big performances from the usual suspects from the Gold Coast for sure, you know, in the forward pack. But can the Titans sustain a performance for 80 minutes? I just feel like it's been few and far between this year. And again, tight game, end of sets. I like the Burton kicking game. I think the coaching, I have more confidence in Serraldo. There's these little things where I lean towards the Dogs, happily either go 1.5 for the full game or head-to-head, or in fact, I landed on +0.5 a point in the first half. As I've explained multiple times, when I like that slight underdog, that's my favourite way to play it quite often.
Yeah, and although I think probably 95% of the time, really, I do tip my team out of loyalty. Being realistic, I don't really say this on the show, but I sort of have a gauge when we're going to lose. Like I knew last week, even though I was tipping us, we were going to lose to the Knights. They were coming off the bye. I just knew. And I've got the same feeling here, unfortunately, with the Bulldogs. That being said, everyone knows my tip for this one. I am obviously going to tip the Titans, but to still add some value to this preview for you guys, let me strip back my bias and just purely analyze this one for you guys. Titans have scored exactly 26 points in their last 5 games, whereas Doggies are only averaging 17 this year, scoring as low as 4 against the Eels and as high as 30 against the Raiders, which does look favorably upon them now when you think of how the Raiders are going. Titans have won one more game this year. Their points differential is -29. The Doggies is -95, so a fair bit worse there. The Bulldogs are second for missed tackles outright, and they're averaging 35 misses per game. Now, I know my Titans can turn it on and score some points, as shown by our average of 26 in our last five. But we do score 10 more tries this year than the Bulldogs we have. But the reason why I've just got a bad feeling about this game winning, because all those stats there, they look favorably upon us. We have an 18% win record on the road in the last two seasons, and we've lost five of our last six at a core. Now, that is a less than one in five games we win on the road. That is just a it'd have to be one of the worst records in the league, if I'm being absolutely honest. So, I mean, maybe you buy into the Titans attacking stats and the Bulldogs poor defensive stats I referenced before, but just that Titans win record on the road, I think, although I'll tip my team, you gotta respect that and think the Doggies probably should win this one. I was going to go Alofi Anakanpereira for an anytime try scorer, but he said at media today he's getting rested or ruled out, which brings Shop into the centres against his former club, the Doggies, which I think maybe he could have a big game, and Phil Sammy to the wing. But the try scorer, you mentioned him, Josh Adokar. He's got 8 tries in his last 4 games against the Titans, and it will be his last chance to push for an Origin spot. So I love him potentially for an anytime try scorer. Maybe you could couple that with a Doggies win if you are that way inclined.
Final. There was a comment about Khan Pereira there. So even what you said is curious to me. Which is it? I thought he must be injured. But, you know, rested or not selected, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, the headline read, Titans flyer axed. And then when I read the News Corp article, it said he told media that he'll be rested. So I think the headline was just to kind of catch views. And I think it could almost be tactical because Shop, I saw him on a podcast earlier this year with John Bernard, and he said that he doesn't hold like ill will towards the Bulldogs, but they basically told him, we don't think you're our center. We can't guarantee you any time moving forward. And he said the reason why he went to the Titans was they said to him, well, you will be our starting center. We believe in you. So I do wonder if they have done it sort of tactically. But I wouldn't be leaving out the guy who has the second most tries in the competition, if I'm being absolutely honest.
And I hope Mike's wife isn't watching us live as I read his comment there. The Titans sustaining an 80-minute performance is about as much chance of him sustaining 80 minutes of celibacy at the Playboy Mansion. And I wanted to touch on one other point you made, Clark. You said you knew the Titans were going to lose last week. I mean, it's always easy in hindsight when we say things like that. But Tristan, in his insight, also said as a Titans fan he was very worried about the Newcastle game. And you can learn what the bookies are thinking, and Top Sport is a sharp bookie and you can use a tool. So I'm going to give a little behind the curtains, like a bit of advice. The Top Sport had the lowest odds about the Knights of any bookie all week. They were at the low $1.70s all week, even when some other bookies were still $1.80 about the Knights. Yeah. So Top Sport didn't want Knights bets. So take that for what you will, because, you know, to beat a bookie, you've got to trust that you can read it better than them. And sometimes you can, because bookies have to set, you know, thousands of markets out there. You can just pinpoint what you want to bet. But when it's an area of their expertise and it's a team that they know pretty well and they were offering the highest odds on the Titans head-to-head of anybody in the market, it could have been writing on the wall, as if you needed more when it was also a tripod best bet on the Knights. But, hey, I'm just saying there are ways you can maybe read into the market and gain some extra market intelligence.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I sometimes when I'm at the pub, like you look at the TAB there, and you can, this is for horse racing, you can actually see if a horse is fixed at a certain amount, but on the tote, they are a lower amount and the race is in Queensland and the UTAB or whatever the Queensland one is a lower amount, then you can start to think, okay, maybe some people at the track know something I don't. Or maybe a bookie is fixing at a low amount straight away. There are certain telltale signs I think you can definitely pick up on when it comes to punting on anything, really. We'll close out the round. It's the Raiders versus Manly at GIO Stadium here in Canberra. The line is set at, I think it was -4.5 in the Raiders' favour. For the Raiders, Zach Wolford is out, so Danny Levi comes in. Josh Schuster and Jake Trbojevic are back. Josh Aloye and Kelma Tuolungi are out for the Seagulls. And that brings Samuela Fayenu and Ben Condon onto the bench for them also. So big changes for Manly, some big inclusions, but some big losses. Raiders much more settled. They do lose a hooker, but they get another one back. Did you have a best bet on this one for the Raiders? -4.5 outright. I love that as well. Can I just say, I feel like the Raiders, it's almost disrespectful the fact that they are now 5 in a row. I thought that that minus line should be a little bit larger.
Yeah, so minus 4.5 on top, $1.95 is my best bet, despite the big ins for Manly. So you've got two really important players at key positions in Gerbo and Schuster. But I still think it's fair to have minor doubts about both of them. Okay, is Jake rushing back because Manly really miss him and it's the week before Origin is picked? And is Schuster truly in the right shape, the right form, and the right frame of mind to play his best game straight away in his first game back? And those are not the only questions about Manly. As followers would know, we've asked and tried to answer a lot of questions about this team all year. Whereas for the Raiders, they've found plenty of answers, especially in the last 5 weeks, as you said. In terms of the formula for them that works, that has won them all these footy games, and I think the next step for Canberra is to stop taking years off Ricky's life in the last 15 minutes of every week and to actually put teams away, because I think I mentioned the 8-point win over Para, and it was another one of my many leans that I wish I played. That was actually Canberra's biggest victory margin of the season. So with that in mind, I like the best bet here, because I think Canberra will be ruthless if they find the front and will defend hard to not want to let the opponent back in, which has happened in multiple games this year for the Raiders. And I was just flat out surprised it was under a converted try line, because I don't really see any weaknesses in Canberra. You know, earlier in the year, I think a few of us would have said Canberra doesn't have a lot of strike in the outside backs, but we've discussed the emergence of Timoko as being a legit starter, Chris, his form, Popowati as well. These guys have really stood up. And you also looked at the Raiders pack, and I thought they're a bit, I don't know, old-fashioned. Like, they want to play through the front door, but not the modern style. And not that Hosberg's necessarily a modern 13, but I feel like he does inject attacking threat, and he's been a revelation for him with his offloads and ability to kind of, yeah, play out the back, as their props have as well. And then you've got a couple of back rowers that are also can ball play a little bit and offload. And the bench keeps the momentum when they come on. So I'm pretty confident Canberra's going to make it 6 wins in a row. And you did reference we've got an awesome clash next week when Canberra plays Souths. Now, you said we don't want to look too far ahead. I don't want Canberra looking too far ahead either. I want all their attention on this one. But the funny thing is, with next week being an Origin, a pre-Origin round, it's a massive opportunity for the Raiders to keep the winning streak rolling. So I think they're going to do that. And I think unless Turbo can find a time machine and dial it back to 2021, we're going to be in a strong position to end the round with a winning best bet and the mixed matchup as well that I'll share in a moment. But how do you see this one? You agree Canberra should be too strong?
Yeah, I've got Raiders absolutely in this one. And when you were referencing their wins by a close margin, I actually went and checked the points differential between these sides. Raiders on a huge win streak, as we know. Seagulls on a 3-game losing streak, I believe it is. -7. 7 points is all that separates these two sides, which is, I mean, it just sums up. The Raiders are finding ways to win games where the Sea Eagles aren't. And you have to respect that. I want everyone to cast their mind back to our preview show in the preseason. I touched on Manly and I said that I think they're a little light on in their forward pack this year. And when they get injuries, it will start to test them. Probably a chance to see whether I'm correct or not in this game. I think this will be a great way to tell how they will be. I know they get Jake Trbojevic back, but I don't think he'll be at 100% straight off the bat. And like, let me say, if the Origin teams were being picked 2 weeks from now, I don't think we would have seen Jake Trbojevic return this week. I don't. I think he would have rested a little bit longer. Then you couple in Josh Aloyer, Koma Tuolungi, and Aaron Woods not being there either. And up against the Raiders side that have won 5 in a row, fully put my hand up. Last round in the preview pod, I tipped the Eels and I said, I think Raiders might be content with a 4-game win streak and slack off a little bit here. And absolutely, I was wrong. So now that I know they don't look like slowing down, I think they win here. I think they set up that awesome showdown with the Bunnies next week. But you've actually just reminded me. So the Origin players will be out for that one, won't they?
That's right. So no Origin players that weekend. It's a shame, isn't it? But it's a good opportunity for Canberra, because who will Canberra be missing? I mean, Josh Papali'i is not even a certainty. Whiten's taking his hat out of the ring, you know. Like, they'll go in pretty close to full strength, whereas Souths will definitely be without Latrell, probably Damien Cook, certainly Cam Murray. So, you're right, Horsburgh could be out for Raiders, but I think it's definitely Sure, yeah, that's true. That is true to Hudson Young as well. But I think in any case, it'd be still favour Canberra to meet Souths on that weekend when you talk Latrell, you talk Cam Murray, and likely Cook. Anyway, yeah. Of course, people have to wait 7 days for our preview of that one. But I will actually say one more really important punting insight, general insight, right? And I'll do my best in the group to respond to people if anyone's got anything. Sometimes you get whispers through of who's going to get picked. You get early teams kind of get leaked throughout the weekend of who's making Origin. You may find a good opportunity to jump on an early line for round 13. If there's a dicey one, like I'm not looking at it right in front of me right now, but let's say you hear Nico's not going to get picked, so you look and play the Sharks next week, or you hear Nico's definitely in, so you go against the Sharks, like that type of thing where a key player that may have been a 50-50 to play Origin or unexpected, either unexpectedly dropped or unexpectedly picked, could actually influence a week 13 line, and you might get to it before the bookies have a chance to adjust.
Yeah, well, I can see the mixed matchups just come up there. Let me quickly tie together some stats for this one before we get to that. This is a really interesting one, Winnie, which is why I really want to get out there. Every team that has beaten Para so far this year has gone on to lose the next week. Every team that's beaten Para has lost the next week, and Raiders did, of course, beat them. So that stat's in Manly's favour. But the Raiders have won 5 out of their last 6 at GIO Stadium. I spoke about that being a genuine home ground advantage. I like Hudson Young for an anytime try scorer because I think he's close to Origin and he just re-signed on a 4-year deal. And Jordan Rapana is 1 try off 100 in the NRL. So if you like Raiders in this one and you think that line's short, there's some definite anytime try scorer options to weigh up and consider in that one. But yeah, over to you for our mixed matchup this round.
That is a funny trend that you mentioned that everyone's lost after they played Para. So if whenever I see a trend, I always think, what's the reason for it? So the only way that would make sense is because Para is so physical, everyone gets beat up, or Para is such a big opponent, everyone gets up for them and then struggles. And I don't really think either of those are very true, more so than other teams in the comp. So it's a perfect example where sometimes you can build a trend that would say, 10 out of 10, it's worked, which means you've got to play Manly. Sometimes there's anomalies. You can flip a coin 10 times, or in a run of 10 amongst 1,000 flips, you'll get heads 10 times in a row. It doesn't make heads more likely the 11th flip. So you guys know I'm not a big trends person. Others may find more success, but I'm more skeptical with those. That's why I'm perfectly confident taking the Raiders, and I don't think they're going to give up a lot of points to Manly. So I'm actually going to say West will outscore the Seagulls, and you can have up to 200 on that. And Toppy, the odds are $2.20. Now, both these teams are predicted to score 19.5 points. So it's kind of a 50-50, but we lose in the event of a tie. So that's why we get 220 on Toppy. The promo code's TP Live if you want a Top Sport account. And I've already made the case why I like the Tigers. I think they can get that close to Cowboys, if not win. Whereas I don't think Manly gets as close to Canberra. That's as simple as that for me and my mixed matchup this week.
Mate, I like it. Unless Tom Trbojevic jumps in a time machine and, as you said, winds back the clock or something strange happens, that seems like a great mixed matchup. Before we do close out the show, we were thinking of adding a new segment in which will be Clarkie's Pick the Round Challenge, where I've got to pick a leg from every single game. Now, I will include this into our social media post where we put together all the best bets and mixed matchups, etc. But just quickly, guys, I know we've ticked over the 1 hour mark, so just give me 2 minutes more of your time. My pick the round challenge this week, I'm going to go Panthers head-to-head over the Broncos. I think the revenge factor will get them home there. Going to go Dragons plus 12.5. I don't know if they can beat the Roosters, but I think they should be able to keep it close, and the Roosters have not been scoring too many points in recent weeks. Rabbitohs minus 5.5. You have to pick your own line there or play a custom line. I'm going to take them to win by a try. I think they can do that. Knights plus 18.5. I know that seems a little bit weird, but it's $1.37 as is if you take the Sharks head to head. So I'm going to make a play on that one. I'm going to go the Knights plus the 18.5 because, you know, if they score first, then you're looking at a huge plus margin you've got there. Cowboys head to head over the Tigers. I think the Cowboys will make it 3 in a row. That's a tough one, though. Dolphins plus 12.5. That's still up around $1.50. And, of course, because we're combining this into a multi, we're increasing those odds as we go. I think if they can't win, they should make it close and be in that game with the Storm. Certainly a 2-try converted margin makes me feel pretty confident there. Titans head-to-head, that's just because I'm a biased prick. If you want to go doggies in that one, go doggies in that one. And then I'm going to tie it all together with Raiders. I think if we're still alive at this point, we will all be cheering together. But I'm going to go Raiders head-to-head and Rapana, anytime try scorer, to score his 100th NRL try and tie off a famous multi for us all. I know that was a gobful, guys, so in future I'll have a graphic prepared on the screen for you when he's typed it in the chat. And, of course, we'll also have it part of our post when we post all our best bets and mixed matchups. But, yeah, that's all we have time for today, guys. Am I correct in that, Winnie?
Yes, I appreciate you feeling yourself. You want to, you know, have a go at a multi. Oh, people always message me and just say, can you give me a multi for this? Can you give me a multi for that? One person, what was it? Can you give me a multi for every game of the round, all at least $4 odds, and I'm going to multi them all together, which would have been like the equivalent of giving them an 80,000 to one or something. It's not that easy. I always say I don't pick the multi picks me sometimes. And you just told me you want to pick a multi this week. So you have gone against me in a couple of the games. You only find out my tips tonight. But best of luck all the same. And I like that you're feeling yourself and you're going to give it a red hot shot. So people can look forward to you posting that officially, you know, on your social media channels the next couple of days.
Yeah, mate, I'm feeling it. It's big odds, so you don't have to go too crazy. And you can have a couple bucks and it just makes every game that little bit, you know, extra fun to watch. And we can all follow along and hopefully at the end of it have a bit of a laugh together and a bit of fun, win a bit of cash. That's the name of the game. Thank you very much for everyone who has been here tonight with us. We'll be back on Sunday after the last game to recap everything and all of our bets, hopefully with that multi right there winning. But from me, thank you very much for being here. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. So thank you.
Lego.